WQST from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for September 17, 2014. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is an edited voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, which is compiled by Rick Palm, K1CE. The ARRL Aries e-letter is available online at arrl.org/ares-el. Or you may listen to the audio version at arrl.org/ares-e-letter-audio-version. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland, and my audio script writer and editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. In this issue, we have for you News in Brief, Colorado Aries Group recognized by FEMA, and Florida's SARnet helps Florida Department of Transportation with Tech Challenge, a win-win. The Micro SET, for you, your family, and your neighborhood. Videos, the interoperability continuum. Earthquake safety and preparedness tips. Products for Aries, the Buddy Stick antenna. Letters, Central Gulf Coast Hurricane Net. Colorado Aries provides input on communications unit for state DHSEM. Mexican amateurs support WinLink for disaster response communications. And K1CE for a final. Those are the headlines. Now here are the stories. First, news in brief. September 10th, Aries Racy's volunteers mobilize in wake of Nevada flash flooding. Aries Racy's members in Clark County, Nevada, activated Monday, September 8th, after heavy rain sparked flash flooding. They deployed after being called up by local emergency managers to support communication during recovery efforts in the Moapa Valley, northeast of Las Vegas. At least two people died as a result of the flooding. September 9th, keynote convention speech of FEMA Administrator Craig Fugit, KK4INZ, available on YouTube. Go to youtube.com and search for FEMA Administrator Craig Fugit's keynote speech. September 2nd, Mars leaders mull adopting new training approach, upping recruitment game. Here's a website you can go to for that information, arrl.org/news/mars-leaders-mull-adopting-new-training-approach-upping-recruitment-game. August 29th, the 2014 Global Amateur Radio Emergency Communications Conference, or GARIC 2014, was held August 14th and 15th in Huntsville, Alabama. It was hosted by the ARRL Alabama Section and the Huntsville Hamfest. GARIC 2014 offered an opportunity for participants to share presentations and perspectives from around the globe. Greg Surratt, W4OZK, organized this year's GARIC event, which focused on the application of advanced technologies in disaster response and emergency communication. Colorado Aries Group, recognized by FEMA. FEMA recently announced its nationwide Citizens Corps Awards with Boulder County, Colorado Aries, also known as BC Aries, winning honorable mention under the Technical Achievements category for their use of ATV and APRS, and for their Mountain Emergency Radio Network, or MERN, project during the Boulder floods last year. MERN was created in conjunction with BC Aries, the Intermountain Alliance, or IMA, and the Boulder County Office of Emergency Management. MERN's mission is to facilitate community emergency preparedness and to ensure uninterrupted communication between and within six mountain communities in western Boulder County, county emergency services, and their resources prior to and during an emergency event via an amateur radio network. thanks to Jack Siachi, WM0G, the ARRL Colorado Section Manager, for this news. There's more news to follow, so stay tuned. But before we take our first station break, we want to thank John Creel, WB3GXW, for the use of his repeater to transmit the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter each month. The WB3GXW repeater is located in Silver Spring, Maryland, a suburb of Washington, D.C., and may be heard on 147.225 MHz. Please let us know if your repeater is airing the audio version of the ARRL e-letter. Send an email to kz3ab@arrl.net. Please include the day, time, location, repeater call sign, frequency, and any sponsoring club. The email address again is kz3ab@arrl.net. Thank you for your support. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for September 17th, 2014. Florida's SARnet helps Florida's DOT with Tech Challenge, a win-win. From an amateur radio user's perspective, the Statewide Amateur Radio Network, or SARnet, is simply a network of independently operated amateur radio repeaters in Florida that are linked together. In truth, though, it is much more than that. SARnet is a story of the amateur radio community coming together to help a state government agency overcome a technological challenge. In this case, it is the Florida Department of Transportation, or FDOT. FDOT is an agency charged with maintaining roadways in the state of Florida and keeping them safe for the traveling public. To meet its charge, FDOT deploys personnel that work along these roadways. These workers use VHF low-band analog voice radios that operate in the mid-40 megahertz frequencies just below the amateur's 6-meter band to communicate. In an effort to continue to keep this workforce safe, while at the same time improving resource utilization and situational awareness for both crews and management, FDOT has been working to provide interoperability between the regions of the voice radio network, the Capitol in Tallahassee, and other public safety agencies. This sort of improvement requires technology, and any new technology needs testing before it can be deployed. This is where the amateur radio community comes in. Recently, FDOT needed to begin investigating connecting their VHF repeaters together using relatively new Internet Protocol, or IP, technology called Multicast. This powerful technology makes it possible for multiple radio sites to be connected together while using only the network bandwidth of one conversation. Traditional voice-over IP network implementations put one copy of the conversation on the network for each radio site, using more and more bandwidth with each site that is added. The problem of starting this investigation of multicast was that FDOT Voice Radio Network is a live network. Testing a new complex technology on a live network would be at best frustrating for the work crews on the roadways, and at worst, downright dangerous, since it would likely result in radio system outages. Fortunately, many of the principal FDOT personnel responsible for operating the Statewide Intelligent Transportation System, or ITS, microwave network, and supporting the FDOT VHF voice radio network, are also amateur radio operators. They decided to enlist a few amateur radio repeater trustees to let them network their repeaters together over the FDOT's statewide ITS microwave network. The idea was that FDOT could create an ongoing testbed for this new multicast network technology using live amateur radio traffic, and in return, the amateur community would get a new exciting resource to use for communicating long distances in and around the state of Florida. The win-win has so far been a great success. In fact, the testbed created by the SARnet has provided numerous insights for FDOT into how to test, operate, maintain, troubleshoot, and upgrade an advanced technology like multicast when it is being used on such a large scale. There have been several challenging issues that FDOT, working side by side with radio amateurs, have been able to solve. Most recently, a new repeater was linked to SARnet in Madison, Florida. Initial reports, and even recordings from local hams, indicated that the SARnet traffic was cutting in and out with short audio blanking segments. The evidence provided by the amateurs suggested a network issue was to blame, and the problem turned out to be an intermittent microwave network card that had not been detected previously while running typical IP traffic through the network. For the amateurs who use SARnet, the experience is proving to be a lot of fun, but it has also become more than that. The potential for SARnet to support public event, disaster response, and emergency communications is impressive. Consider that SARnet rides on a statewide network of hardened microwave tower and fiber sites, and not the Internet. All of these sites have battery backup systems and automatic generators with extended fuel supplies that can run for many days, if not weeks. Consider also that the bandwidth used by SARnet on this network is dedicated. That means, when the Internet begins to experience outages during a severe weather event here in Florida, and most Internet-based amateur repeater linking protocols, such as EchoLink, AllStar, D-Star, and Wires, are having difficulty maintaining connections, SARnet will still be fully operational. The amateur disaster response community has already embraced SARnet. The Duval County, Florida EOC conducts a weekly check-in net on SARnet on Fridays at 9 a.m. Late check-ins are welcome. In addition, the National Hurricane Center has expressed an interest in using SARnet from their location on the Florida International University campus in Miami. Our thanks to Brian Kopp, Ph.D., KC5LPA, at the University of North Florida Electrical Engineering in Jacksonville, Florida, for this submission. We'll pause now for our second station break. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for September 17th, 2014. Our next item is the Micro SET for you, your family, and your neighborhood. The National ARRL Simulated Emergency Test, or SET, is slated for the weekend of October 4th, although the window for operation is September 1st through November 30th each year, with groups conducting their events over the course of 48 hours. We are in that window now. The SET is a nationwide exercise in disaster response and emergency communications, administered by ARRL emergency coordinators and net managers. ARES, other related groups, and the National Traffic System, or NTS, are involved. The SET gives communicators the opportunity to focus on their capability, strengths, and weaknesses within their community while interacting with NTS nets. It also provides a public demonstration to served agencies such as Red Cross, emergency management, and through the news media, of the value to the public that amateur radio provides. The SET helps radio amateurs gain experience in communications using standard procedures and a variety of modes under simulated disaster response conditions. Rick Palm, K1CE, suggests, add a micro SET to your activity. Many ARES groups across the country will be participating, he says, and all ARES members should support the national SET and their local ARES group's activity. But as an adjunct, you, as an individual operator, may want to consider also conducting a more micro or local approach by conducting your own SET for your home station and neighborhood. Develop an appropriate scenario based on the existing risks for your area, a wildfire, tornado, earthquake, or hurricane perhaps. Recruit a few friends and neighbors down the street to participate as assistants and victims, and then play it out. simulate the onset of disaster conditions, put into effect your family's personal incident action plan, ensure their safety and the stability of your immediate home and environment, and then assess the needs of your neighbors. Establish communications with other hams in your immediate area via Simplex, and then expand your coverage and capability to a local repeater and an HF outlet, a county or other regional areas or NTS net, along with a channel to emergency support functions needed based on your scenario parameters. Adapt the SET scoring guidelines and forms, which are available on the ARRL website, for your personal effort. Report your results to your local amateur radio organizations, clubs, ARES groups, auxiliary communications groups, etc. Use your imagination and make it fun, while preserving the gravity of what you are actually doing. That is, preparing yourself, your family, and your neighbors for the serious business of survival and the mitigation of the after-effects of disasters. Videos, the interoperability continuum. Rick Palm, K1CE, also suggests that you go to youtube.com and search for the interoperability continuum. This video is a presentation that describes a plan to improve communications by following a path to achieving optimum interoperability by broadening relationships. Knowing who the players are around you is mission critical, and to quote from the video, the reality is, the most important ingredient in interoperability is relationships. Relationships count and mean something. Cherokee County, Georgia ARES member Randy Kerr, KD4KHO, is featured in the video. Examples of communications during 9/11, Hurricane Katrina, floods, and forest fires are discussed. Communications issues and what the Incident Action Plan does to improve and overcome issues before a disaster happens is presented. This video, while describing public safety planning, is also a model for ARES. We should be a fluid organization that embraces our neighboring radio amateurs, repeater owners, ARES members, CERT members, EMA directors, and so on, and building strong professional quality relationships. We have similar paths as described in the video, such as training and exercises through weekly or monthly nets and meetings. We work to determine strengths and weaknesses, which is exactly what the upcoming ARRL simulated emergency test is all about. So check out the video. And again, to do that, go to youtube.com and then the interoperability continuum. Thanks to Jim Millsap, WB4NWS, the District Emergency Coordinator for Metro Atlanta, Georgia, ARES, and Rick Palm, K1CE, for letting us know about this video. Earthquake Safety and Preparedness Tips. The events of last month surrounding the South Napa, California earthquake, a Richter scale 6.0 tremor, remind all of us, especially those on major fault lines of the country, to be prepared to respond to them. FEMA reminds us to expect aftershocks. These secondary shock waves are usually less violent than the main quake, but can be strong enough to do additional damage to weakened structures, and can occur in the first hours, days, weeks, or even months after the quake. During an earthquake, drop, cover, and hold on. Minimize movements to a few steps to a nearby safe place. If indoors, stay there until the shaking has stopped and exiting is safe. If it is safe to do so, check on neighbors who may require assistance. Use the telephone only for emergency calls. Cellular and landline phone systems may not be functioning properly. The use of text messages to contact family is the best option when it is available. Amateur radio and CERT communications offer viable alternative public notification and messaging systems. Check for gas leaks. If you know how to turn the gas off, do so, and report the leak to your local fire department and gas company as soon as possible. Stay tuned now. We'll be right back after this station break. Welcome back. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for September 17, 2014. Products for Aries, the Buddy Stick Antenna. Rick Palm, K1CE, wants to let us know the ARRL Centennial Convention in Hartford, Connecticut in July was one of the finest and most memorable conventions I ever visited. I saw many old friends there, one of whom was Dale Clift, NA1L. Dale is a former ARRL headquarters colleague. When we worked there together in the early 80s, Mr. Palm says, he had become a QRP CW enthusiast, and I became fascinated with his stories of portable QRP mini expeditions around New England with an antenna he highly recommended, the Buddy Pole system. It happened that the manufacturer had a booth at the show, and Dale and I spent an hour with their competent reps. Their knowledge, Dale's good experience with the antenna, and my ever-present quest for quality amateur radio products for my own station all conspired to cause me to open my wallet for a simpler antenna by the same company called a Buddy Stick. It is a portable vertical antenna for 40 meters through 10 meters for use with any transmitter up to 250 watts. The engineering is superb and the quality of the components is top shelf. It is evident that the product was a labor of love by this company. The reason I'm including this in this newsletter is that the antenna fills many of the needs of the disaster response or public service event communicator for an effective and efficient HF antenna system that is small, portable, strong, and sturdy, and quickly assembled and disassembled. The Buddy Stick is packaged in a compartmentalized 1,000 denier Cordura portfolio bag and includes two aluminum rods, one standard telescopic whip, one adjustable coil, two coil clips, a mounting kit, a complete counterpoise system, as well as a good operating manual. It includes one 31-foot-long radial on a line winder for use on 40 meters through 10 meters. I mounted the mounting plate to a railing on my deck with the rubberized clamping knob. There is an SO239 connector on the aluminum plate for a coax feed. I was able to assemble and mount the antenna to my railing in under 3 minutes. I ran out the entire length of the 31 feet of radial wire, keeping it elevated off the ground, and attaching the end on the winder to a fence post. My radio is an ICOM IC7000 with about 100 watts output. I'm in northern Florida, and my initial CW contact was with a friend, Elliot, W1MJ, in Boston, Massachusetts, on 40 meters. Elliot runs an Elecraft K3 transceiver and a dipole fed by twin lead to his small backyard. With only 5 watts, he was an S3 at my station. I was running 100 watts, and Elliot gave me a 579 report from Boston. I was very happy with the antenna's performance for such a small, shortened vertical antenna. It just seems an ideal option for a public event or disaster response operator in the field. Information on the Buddy Pole Dipole System and Buddy Stick products can be found online at buddypole.com. That is spelled BUDDIPOLE.com. I'll repeat the URL. It is BUDDIPOLE.com, and Buddy Pole is spelled as one word. Letters, Central Gulf Coast Hurricane Net. Steve Irving, WA5FKF in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, wrote to tell us the following. I would like to add a few additions to the history of amateur radio disaster response and emergency communications as presented in the last issue. The Central Gulf Coast Hurricane Net was active in providing disaster response communications during Hurricanes Betsy and Hilda in the mid-1960s. The net met for years initially as an AM net on 3845 kHz, then moved to 3935 kHz. During the Hurricane Camille event, communications with the Mississippi Gulf Coast was maintained all night. The city of Waveland, Mississippi, was looking for firefighting equipment for a large fire, but none could be sent until the winds subsided. There is also a not-so-well-known organization, mostly of ham operators, that is on the front line of disaster response communications. It is Disaster Services Technology, or DST. DST is the field IT division of Red Cross and handles a lot of their communications needs. I find most hams don't even know that DST exists. Colorado Ares provides input on Communications Unit for State, DHSEM. On August 3, 2014, Colorado Section Emergency Coordinator Robert Wareham, N0ESQ, sent the Colorado Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management, or DHSEM, of the Department of Public Safety, the proposed language that would provide ARES members with benefits and protections statewide when deployed to disasters. It would also provide ARES members with benefits and protections when exercising, participating in drills, or attending classes in preparation for response to disasters. Mr. Wareham reports that several legislators have expressed a willingness to co-sponsor the bill and will keep ARES members informed of the progress of the measure so that members may contact their local representatives and senators to support the bill. Mr. Wareham also hopes to have a draft bill to codify PRB1 in Colorado, as well as provide further enhancements to the expansion of amateur radio in Colorado, ready in time for the next legislative session. Well, it's time to pause again. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is the ARRL ARES Audio E-Letter for September 17, 2014. Mexican amateurs support WinLink for disaster response communications. A three-year program to fund WinLink gateways in Mexico was completed recently with the installation of XE1CRG. Mexico is a diverse country where HF communications plays a role in disaster recoveries and during emergencies. While Mexico's infrastructure is complete and modern, there are areas where internet connectivity does not exist. And so, Mexican amateurs who provide support to local protection civil offices and other agencies have had a history of using HF voice. Victor Pinilla, XE1VP from the University of Mexico, was impressed with the portable WinLink HF station and easy delivery to internet-based email recipients. This started a planning and funding process to install four complete WinLink gateways. To date, four systems, at a cost of $20,000, have been established at reliable sites with local area support. Each system is configured with an ICOM 7200 and SCS Dragon Pactor modem. The sites are secure with local battery backup. All gateways run Pactor and Winmore 1600. The sites also have packet radio ports for training and local use. Since Mexico is allowed auto-forwarding and Pactor 4 operation, all the gateways participate in the WinLink hybrid network, offering radio-only message transport in the event of internet failure and message pickup station, or MPS, delivery. One site near the Guatemalan border, XE2EOS, loses internet connectivity from time to time, but with HF auto forwarding, email continues to reliably flow. This commitment by Mexico's amateur community is also supported by the Federación Mexicana de Radio Experimentadores, or FMRE, Mexico's IARU member society. Technical and financial support has come from many local amateurs, including XE2SI, XE2GF, XE1RZ, XE2EOS, and XE1BRX. WinLink has proven reliable and robust for the remote email and peer messaging needs in Mexico. These systems are open to the worldwide amateur community and are actively exercised by U.S. amateurs and many foreign visiting boaters and voyagers on the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans. The comfort level for officials for emergencies provided by these gateways is a testament to the dedication and hard work of many, to include the WinLink development team. Thanks to Mike Burton, XE2/N6KZB, for this item. And K1CE for a final. Rick Palm reports, in last month's issue, in the lead article on A Brief History of Aries, I recalled my experience in the 50s as a child with a crystal radio set and Burgess batteries. I wrote, and I quote, "Hams worked with the Burgess Battery Company for emergency radio power. Many of us old-timers, including myself, have used those batteries when we were kids for our crystal radio sets. They looked like tall, thick candle columns." Unquote. That was 50 years ago, and while my dad had set up a crystal radio for me, it did not use battery power. He also had set up an array of electric bells, motors, and lights connected to those Burgess batteries on my bedroom table to teach me the principles of electricity and for fun, too. Sorry for the technical error. Lastly, Rick says, I'd like to call readers' attention to the audio version of the Aries e-letter, voiced by Tony Riggs, W1FHN, with audio script written by Al Brown, KZ3AB. Tony and Al perform an outstanding job, and I tip my hat in thanks to them. 73. Rick Palm, K1CE in Daytona Beach, Florida. Well, thank you, Rick. Al and I both appreciate the tip of the hat. And that's the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for September 17, 2014. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, visit ARRL.org on the World Wide Web. Our thanks to this month's contributors. The audio script was written and edited by Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. Thanks for listening, and 73. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2014 ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.